Good morning. Good to see you all this morning.
Good to see you, too.
Thank you. We've been going through a brilliant series, just a very short series, with Ephesians almost as the backdrop. And Keith started it off talking about us being seated with Christ in heavenly places. And then he went on to look at how we walk out the Christian life here on earth. And then I was looking last week at taking our stand on the ground that Jesus has won for us against the attacks of the enemy. And then how we then take the kingdom of God if God entrusts us, if we prove faithful at sitting with him and he faithful in our walk, well then he will entrust us with his name to take his name into the world. And we're looking very much at that as a very basic view, God's view of how to live the Christian life. Being seated in heaven with God, walking on earth amongst our brothers, and standing in the face of the attacks from the enemy. I think one of the mistakes that we often make, and it's a very obvious mistake to make, is that we emphasize the walking above all the other things. And that's obvious because the walking is the thing that we do, that we can see. It's the thing that we can touch, we can taste, we can smell. It's the physical walking on this earth. And very much that can easily become our focus and we lose sight of the being seated. Whereas the being seated in heavenly places is the foundation. That's where everything comes from. That's where we see our complete dependence on the work, the finished work of Christ. Because everything about us being seated in heavenly places depends upon him. We have no access to heavenly places. He has, as it were, won that access on our behalf on the cross. We're going to spend a few weeks looking at him, looking at Christ, looking at Jesus, not on his walk here on earth, but on his ascension into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, because that is the foundation. Is that the speaker? It is the speaker that's causing the problem. Is Do you want to adjust the balance so it's all coming out of that one? Can you see that? Or will I just pull the plug out the back? There we go. You're only hearing me 50 now, 50%. I'll have to shout a bit louder. Our foundation is the fact that Jesus is ascended into heaven and he is seated at the right hand of his Father, God the Father Almighty. That is where our Christian walk comes from. The fact that Christ is there. That's where our stance against the attack of the enemy comes from. Because Christ is seated there and in him we are seated with him. But as I said, when we look at our own Christian life, we very much always focus on our walk. And that is because we can see it. When it comes to this aspect, the aspect of God in heaven, the Son ascended as a man into heaven, seated at his right hand, us seated in heavenly places, we can't see any of that. We can't touch any of that. We can't. None of our senses work for this. And that's why it comes down to our faith. The evidence of things not seen. And that's the foundation of our Christian life comes down to our faith in the things that we can't see. I'm going to read quite a bit this morning, but I'm going to start in Ephesians. Pick up again in Ephesians chapter 1 where Keith had read from a few weeks ago. Verse 18, Paul says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now we'll look at the second half of that passage later. I just for now want to look at the first half. I will read a verse in chapter 2, verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. This is all subject to our faith. We can't see this, we can't taste this, we can't touch it, smell it, anything it. That's why Paul starts by saying, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. We can see our walk, but we can't see heaven. That's why Paul is praying that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened. And for us, as we enter these few weeks that we're looking at this subject, I think above all subjects, though probably not just because it's a subject we're looking at, we need to pray. I'm going to pray now. Lord, I just pray that you enlighten the eyes of our hearts by the almighty power of your Holy Spirit. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at your right hand. Lord, I pray the same Spirit would enlighten the eyes of our hearts. Amen. This is something that we need to keep coming back to. Even in this sermon this morning, I keep coming back to. And it isn't just making a point. It isn't just some wee thing that ties in nicely with the subject I'm speaking. It's essential. The Holy Spirit's power, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of revelation. Tally was talking this morning. He was quoting Keith there. He said it's not called explanation, it's called revelation. It's about God's Spirit revealing to us the mysteries of God. So the passage we're going to look at is Acts chapter 1, looking at the ascension of Jesus into heaven. I'm really just going to be putting out a few foundational building blocks this morning. And in one, and this is the way with God's word. It's nearly always the same. The simpler it is, almost the more faith we need to comprehend it. It is like that. And we're often mistaken, and I make this point all the times. We covered it when we were looking at the parables. They seem so simple. And yet through the revelation of God, he takes us into the very depths of his heart. Acts chapter 1, the ascension. Start at verse 6. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, this is after he has been raised from the dead. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid them from their sight, hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. The ascension. It starts off with a very, very straightforward question, but a very important question. The disciples are sort of, they've come to terms now maybe with the fact that this really is Jesus. He really is raised from the dead. He's not a ghost. He's not just a spirit. He's got a flesh and blood body. And they've grappled with that, and now they're wanting to know what's happening next. And their question is, you know, now are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Basically, they're looking back to the times of David and Solomon and the greatness of the kingdom of Israel, and they said, right, Jesus, is that, are we going to reinstate this? Is that what's happening now? Are you going to reinstate Israel, get rid of the Romans, all those victories that we thought you were going to bring in the first place? Is now the time for all that? And Jesus, you know, being Jesus, never, he doesn't always give straight answers to their questions. But he does answer their question. In verse 8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And that's so important. And we'll come back to that just in a minute. But he then says, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What he's saying is, no, now is not the time for that. Now is the time for you guys. When you receive power, you are taking the kingdom to the world. And as a result, that has passed down through the church, through the generations, and it is for us now in the power of the Spirit to take God's kingdom to the ends of this community and maybe beyond. But it comes through the Holy Spirit's power. And it's not just, as we look through the book of Acts, it's not just the power to do things. We often think of the power of the Holy Spirit, oh, that's the power that raises people from the dead. Yes, that is the power that raises people from the dead. But equally as important, it's the power of God's Holy Spirit to enlighten the eyes of our hearts that we can see the wonderful truths of God. You see, it was only by the disciples believing and receiving the revelation of God by the power of His Spirit that they were able to take the kingdom to the ends of the earth. It was only through the power of God's Spirit to know that they were seated in heavenly places that they could walk and take their stand. You see, in verses 9 to 11, Jesus is gone. No more questions for Jesus. No more what's happening next, Jesus. It's a time for faith to come in. It's a time for the Holy Spirit to come upon them in power, in the power of faith that they can believe all that is said. I've got a few wee thoughts and questions about the ascension, really to get our minds thinking a little. One of the essential ideas to have if you're going to be considering what it is for Jesus to ascend into heaven and be seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty is heaven. Where is heaven? That's a very, very simple question, but one that doesn't have a very simple answer. Where is heaven? We've always considered, from our very earliest childhood, we've always considered heaven to be up there. And even in the passages that we read, that's how God refers to it, right from Genesis, right through. Heaven's up there, then there's us here, and then there's the pit down there. But it's always up, and here we have Jesus, you know, he came down from heaven, he ascended back up into heaven, and he's coming back down again. It's up, down, up. Down. I did get that wrong, didn't I? But you see, it's good to consider heaven up there, because when we consider heaven up there, it's a seat of authority. It's higher than we are. It's got its advantages. It's also got its disadvantages. I know my little daughter, Jessica. She thinks God lives millions and millions of miles away. She cannot get it into her head that God is near. She thinks God is far away. And we're working on that. But so it is with a lot of adults too. We think of God being seated in heaven, and the more we find out about the sky, you know, it would have been all right in the old times because you just believed he lived up there. You couldn't, you know, there's only so far you could jump is that the mountains were only so high and then God was a little bit further. But then we discovered that he wasn't just beyond the clouds. And then we got the Hubble telescope and we've discovered that he's not just a few billion light years away. He must be further away than that. When we think of heaven as a physical place like that. But we shouldn't think of heaven as a physical place like that. Heaven is where God dwells. That's basically what we need to know about heaven. Heaven is where God dwells. And it is beyond our minds to understand. It's beyond our minds to understand God. It's beyond our minds to understand where he dwells, what it's like. So what God does in his grace and his mercy, he gives us some wee simple things to help us. It's like if you go back into, you know, the Renaissance art and you get pictures of, that's where you get the pictures of the angels floating on clouds with their harps and heaven becomes this sort of place up in the sky. Don't think of heaven like that. Heaven, I suppose the best example in the Bible of heaven is when you turn to Revelation chapter 4. And you see the throne of God and God seated on the throne. And those are the most important parts when we consider heaven. You know, you're not thinking of the sea of glass all around the throne. I wonder what that's like. I wonder what that means. The most important thing is heaven is where God dwells. And it's where his throne of authority is. Because his throne of authority is, using the example, it's high above all other thrones and all other authorities. This is the key aspect of thinking about heaven. But we only use the physical words and the physical language so that we have any concept of it. And this is why we need to be praying to God. God, in the power of your Spirit, enlighten the eyes of our hearts so that we can understand heaven. Revelation 4 even, it says to, the voice says to John, come up here till I show you. And that's when he gets his revelation of what heaven is like, or of what the throne of God is like. We've come into a few difficulties in the Bible. Let me turn to 2 Corinthians. You see, while we consider heaven to be where God's dwelling is, the word heaven can be used to mean other things. Let's just read it from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Just read the first few verses. I'll not give you any context to what Paul's talking about, but he says, I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. And he goes on. Now, a lot of people would believe he's talking about himself there. We don't know, but that he was sort of humbly telling this story, but wanting to get the point across without exalting himself. Doesn't really matter. He talks about being taken up to the third heaven. Now our whole idea of heaven's getting a wee bit more complicated. Third heaven, first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. Well, to make it simple, the third heaven would be considered to be God's dwelling place. That's paradise, as it's referred to here. But that gives us the idea that there must be two other heavens. Isn't that fair enough? First and the second heaven. Well, it's often considered that the first heaven is what we can see. The earth and the heaven. Heavens is the sky. The heavens above the sky. The moon. The stars. The sun. All that there. The galaxies. That's the first heaven. Then there's the second heaven. And the second heaven, well, if you consider it like this, it's between the first heaven and the third heaven. So it's higher than the first heaven, lower than the third heaven. What could be in the middle? Well, it's considered that is the angelic realm. It says in Revelation 12 that there was war in heaven. Well, the war wasn't just in the sky, isn't in the sky. So it's not the first heaven. The war isn't in paradise, because that would contradict what paradise is. It's in between. It's in the angelic realm, where the angels dwell, day in, day out. The demons dwell, day in, day out. They don't live on earth. They live in the heavenly realm, in the angelic realm. Why is this important? Well, where is Jesus? Is he in the first heaven? Is he up there still behind the cloud that hid him from the disciples' view? Is he in the second heaven where there would be war going on? Or would he be in the third heaven? Let's find out. Let's go back to Ephesians. I'm going to read from chapter 4. Verse 7. But each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. You see, you have the up and down here again, the ascending, descending. But where did he ascend to? He ascended higher than all the heavens. He ascended to somewhere with more authority than the heavens above. He ascended to somewhere with more authority than the angelic realm. He went to the very highest of the heavens, to the place of most authority, to the throne of God. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. We read it already in verse 20. About Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. This isn't talking about how far away from earth that Jesus was taken. This is talking about how much authority Jesus has given. He has given all authority above all realms, above all other heavens, all other dominions. All he is seated above them all. And one last passage on this subject from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 22. He's talking about Jesus, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. The whole idea of Jesus being seated in heaven isn't talking about a place. You know, one of the things we need to stop doing or not fall into the trap of doing. You see, when we think of heaven, we're very self-centered. We think, oh, the streets are paved with gold. Brilliant, I'm going to be rich. We think there's going to be no more crying, no more suffering. Great, my life's going to be more pleasurable. We think of a lot of things concerning us, and yes, those things are true. But the most important part of thinking about heaven isn't the place, isn't the what it's going to be like. It's the throne of God. It's God himself. And that place has authority over every place. It does not matter where it is. It matters who and what is there. It's not about distance. It's not about up. It's not about down. Like, you consider up and down. What if you live in Australia? You'd be going down to heaven and up, you know. It's not about that. That's why we need to pray for the power of God's Holy Spirit to enlighten the eyes of our heart so that we can consider these things in the right way. So that when we consider heaven, we're not taken by the our own imaginations of what it's like, but we're taken by the fact that that is the throne of God and the authority of God, and that Jesus as a man is seated there at God's right hand. And that's what we're exploring over the coming weeks. What it means for Jesus to be seated. What it means for him to be as a man. And then we come right back to where Keith started. And for us to be seated with him. I'm going to read a few verses from Colossians. We picked Ephesians because it's so often considered to be the richest of Paul's letters. Colossians isn't far behind, it has to be said. Colossians, another book, talks about a lot of similar things. You know, it's obviously just written to the same sort of stuff to a different church, but written in a different way. And there's an awful lot of instruction about our walking. You know, about how we walk in our life. In fact, it uses those terms. Chapter 3, verse 7, it says, you used to walk in these ways, talking about the old life, in the life you once lived. There's an awful lot saying about what we should do in our walk and what we shouldn't do in our walk. There's a lot of instruction about that. And it would be easy for us to focus on that, because that's the stuff that we do, that's the stuff that when you get up tomorrow morning, you have your Christian life to live, and you see it very much as, and what am I going to do? Where am I going to walk? Where am I not going to walk? Physically and sort of metaphorically. But what's important comes at the start of chapter 3. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Things above. What's it talking about? It's talking about physically, things above. No, it's talking about heaven. It's talking about where Christ is. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. This is the key command, because it comes back to Ephesians. It's the same again. You've got to be seated before you can walk. You got to learn how to sit before you, or as you learn how to walk. And so it is here. Set your heart, set your minds. You often hear about being of a mindset. Setting your mind so that we're of a mindset to heaven. So that we're seated with him. Setting our minds where Christ is. Where he is. He's not far away. But he's seated at God's right hand. Where we have been raised to already. That is where we are. Be of that mindset. And it's so easy to be of, well, not so easy, but it comes more naturally to be of that mindset when we're sitting here in church. Especially when we're maybe praising God and the words are coming out of our mouth describing these things. It's easy to be of that mindset. Maybe when we're sitting at home and we're having our devotional time in the morning, and you've got your Bible out and you're praying, it's easy to be of that mindset. When you're busy at work, it's not. But Paul is telling us, he's telling the Colossians, he's telling us, this should be our preoccupation in life, for our minds to be set on things above. Not at the expense of doing anything here on earth. No, we're to be about our business, but we're always to be of the mindset of heaven. And not the dreamy, faraway, pie-in-the-sky heaven. The heaven where God is. The heaven where Christ is. The heaven where we are. For that to be our preoccupation. And then when it comes to where we walk, that's where the power to walk comes from. Pray, pray, pray. Because this sort of stuff, it comes through faith. You're never going to see it. You're never going to hear it, touch it, never going to smell it, taste it. It's all about faith. Holy Spirit, give us the faith to believe that we are seated with Christ. Give us the wisdom and revelation to understand what that means. I would reckon And I only reckon this because I know it from my own experience. But there's some people that think that a sermon like this morning isn't quite as important as a sermon that might be about, you know, should I do this or should I do that? As a more physical, talking about our walk with Christ sermon. But for us, we need to be praying that the Holy Spirit shows us just how important being seated with Christ is. We need to be praying that the Holy Spirit enlightens the eyes of our heart. This is the be all and end all. Everything, we know, it rolls off our tongue that we can't do anything outside of Christ. Without him, we can do nothing. And these things, we know that we need the, you know, we can't do anything in our own strength. We need the strength of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to equip, to enable and empower us to do all this. But it all comes from the work of Christ. And he is seated in heaven and we are seated with him. It is the fount from which everything else flows. You see, I'm even using my hands because heaven's up there and we're down here. It's a great picture. I'm not trying to... That's a picture God gave us. I'm not trying to say it's wrong. I'm just trying to illustrate that it's a picture to illustrate how that his throne is above every throne. But it's vital for the Holy Spirit. You can listen to 100 sermons on this. It's vital that the Holy Spirit reveals to us a full understanding that we can walk tomorrow with our minds set on these things. Let's pray. Lord, I want to simply ask for two very fundamental things, Lord. Number one, I pray that you show us the importance of being seated in heavenly places. Lord, we want to thank you and praise you that the work of Christ is finished. And Lord, that it's only in him that we stand. It's only in him that we can walk, and it's only in him that we are seated. But help us to see the importance of it, and Holy Spirit, then enlighten the eyes of our hearts that we would understand. And empower us for all that you have planned for us in our lives. Amen.